the Good News Station.
This is USA Radio News. I'm J.J. Jeffries. One of the two psychologists integral to designing the CIA's post-September 11th program of brutal interrogations is defending the treatment of al-Qaeda detainees and disputing a critical Senate report. James E. Mitchell is identified in the report by a pseudonym, Grayson Swigert. Mitchell says a secrecy agreement prevents him from confirming his involvement or fully defending himself. A U.S. official with knowledge of the program confirms that Mitchell is Swigert. A top U.S. diplomat says the international campaign against the Islamic State is still in its earliest phases, but the effort to roll back the extremist militants will take much longer. He said progress is likely to be uneven. Brett McGurk, deputy special presidential envoy to the Coalition to Counter IS, testified at a House hearing today. I'm J.J. Jeff.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
Israel's army says there will be an autopsy on a Palestinian cabinet member who died today after he and other protesters scuffled with Israeli troops near a West Bank village. And the army says the autopsy will be attended by Palestinian, Jordanian, and Israeli pathologists. Authorities in Northern California arrested at least 19 people as protesters angered by the killings of unarmed black men by white police officers rallied for a fourth night. KNTV reports that Berkeley police arrested 5 adults and 1 juvenile Tuesday night. The California Highway Patrol apprehended an additional 13. Energy stocks are leading a decline in U.S. indexes as the price of crude oil plunges again. Chevron and ExxonMobil fell the most of the 30 stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial Average in midday trading Wednesday. Each stock fell about 3%. You can find us online. Our new website is up and running, usaheadlinenews.com. I'm J.J. Jeffries on the USA Radio Network.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded women's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
This year's Nobel Peace Prize was accepted Wednesday in Oslo, Norway. USA's Ron Taylor has the story.
The latest recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize is a Pakistani teenager who hopes to one day be the country's prime minister.
I'm just a committed and even stubborn person who wants to see every child getting quality education and who wants peace in every corner of the world.
Malala Yousafzai told a BBC interviewer that her dream is to enter politics and see Pakistan become a developed country where every child gets an education. The 17-year-old education activist was shot in the head by a Taliban gunman as she rode a bus to school 2 years ago. Yousafzai said she had two choices to make after that incident.
To remain silent and wait to be killed. And the second was to speak up and then be killed.
I'm Ron Taylor.
Police say a man who was living in the rafters above a Denver restaurant crashed through the ceiling, triggered a flood, and got trapped in a wall.
Officers responded to a report of a man falling through the ceiling at the Yard House late Tuesday night. They saw a man walking around the scaffolding and then disappear. A water pipe in the ceiling ruptured, flooding the restaurant and the adjoining lobby of the Sheraton Hotel. When officers arrived, they found the man stuck in the wall. They used a chainsaw to get him out, and now he's facing charges for damages to the restaurant. I'm J.J. Jeffries.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Joe Martech. You know, it's nice when you know your own name.
Yes.
You know what I always tell my clients, you know, because a lot of my clients are not too young. I said, you know, they worry about losing their memories and stuff like that. But I have a theory. When you turn 40, your brain is full. There's no more room. So you start throwing stuff out, and then you put new stuff in. Well, sometimes you throw out the wrong stuff.
And
now you're in trouble.
Yeah.
But I have one other main thing. When people say, Joe, I don't know if I'm, you know, and I said, well, you got three questions that you have to answer to know you're okay. You know, your name, address, and phone number. Now, of the three, you're allowed to forget two, but don't ever forget where you live, because that's the most important one.
I would think.
Yeah.
Either that or carry some ID on you.
Ah, yeah, but if you have the right address on your ID, you'll be okay. But you might lose your wallet in the scope of this thing. But if you can tell the cops where you live, it might help.
Yeah, just don't carry any money with you. You're all right.
1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. This is the Pastor Tom, Joe, and Vince show.
No, it's not. I'll be back at the end of the show.
You'll be back at... Wait a minute. You can't leave yet, because... You know, let me just tell you this, how much fun we enjoy this show and enjoy Pastor Tom. And every time I meet somebody that has called in on the show, which has been pretty regular, everybody says, tell me about Pastor Tom. Is he really that good a guy? And I said, yeah, he really is. I'm trying to get him to marry this one girl for free, and he's not willing to do that yet.
I'm already married.
No, bet not that girl. But, you know, he was talking to...
you mean... Do a wedding.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's called marry. You know, I'm either going to marry you or I'm going to marry you to somebody.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Perform a service.
You know, that's what we're all doing here. We're having a service.
That's it. We're having a service.
Pastor Tom, you're on.
Dearly beloved.
Oh. Very good.
Dearly beloved.
Team Martech started. You know what happened is, Vince, I was getting a little nostalgic because we don't know exactly when we started, but we know it's at least 10 years ago. And this would be our 10th Christmas. So what I was trying to do is to get the whole group together for this Christmas show next weekend, which is not working out very well.
Not?
I know. You know, getting everybody to show up is tough. And Victoria wants to do this Christmas lunch. Everybody's going to show for lunch. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. That's the problem. You need to have food here.
Yeah, that would help. Get a catered lunch here, you know. But
yeah, they'll show up.
But our program's not till 4 o'clock. Can we do it earlier?
Well, it would be a lunch-dinner thing.
Lunch-dinner. It's not called brunch anymore. What's it called? Lunch-dinner, right?
I was searching for the word.
We don't have a category
there.
For that.
It was one of those things I forgot.
But give or take, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, 12 years ago, I'm a financial advisor called a stockbroker, called a securities principal. And basically, I do investments for clients of mine. And I've got about 900 such people here on the Treasure Coast mostly, and then in 13 other states because people move. But what does happen when somebody says, hey, Joe, we know you and we trust you and we have questions about taxes. What do you know? And I said, well, I know we got to pay them. Well, Well, what do you know besides that?
Reluctantly.
That's why we have a CPA.
Yeah. Who is that?
That's a funny thing. So then what happens is now I've got to go find a CPA. Now, it took me a good long time to find a CPA that could read. No, that wasn't the right answer.
That could read?
That could read, right? So a few years ago, I happened just by pure luck, after talking to, really quite a few guys around town that just didn't fit, I bumped into this guy, Vince Rosino, who's not only a CPA, but he's also a forensic CPA, which means he's an expert witness. And he used to teach at a college not called Columbia.
Not Columbia.
In New York. We got to start a new school called Not Columbia.
It's a SUNY Old Westbury, Joe.
I know. I can never remember that, but that's not important. So that became one of the key members of the group. Now, you have to understand, folks, I'm not a young guy. In fact, I happen to be the oldest guy here, even though Pastor Tom looks older than me. He's really not. He's holding his tongue. I'm impressed. And there's Connie back there.
She's waving her finger.
She's waving her finger. She's listening, and she's saying, Connie, did you agree with me when I just said that?
I think she did.
I think she did. That was it. So anyway, when you no, she's not, because that's my boss. I can't say that. Behind his back, maybe? Okay. Anyway, so what happened is, what I was looking for, people that were not new in business. Why? Well, new people in business, even though they have an education, practical experience hasn't really caught up with them yet. And Vince, you know this.
Yes.
When you learn in school, you put all your time. When you start working, things are different. And then, if people are going to make mistakes, normally they do them when they're new in business. They don't use them after they've been in 10, 20, 30 years. So the game plan was to try to find local professionals that could help my clients who had lots of experience. Now, Vince, you're what, 104 years old now? Mileage.
I was 39 on my last birthday.
Yeah, right. That's when you counted anyway.
That's when I stopped counting.
But Vince is a relatively old guy that could be collecting Social Security pretty soon. But
yes.
You can't afford to yet.
Yes. No, I can't.
Can't afford to.
No.
But he's been in practice for many, 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 many years. And that was an important part of us in the group. The other members of the group, Greg Fasula, team attorney. Well, one of the first things I do when I meet a new prospect or suspect is ask them if they're ready to die. Mm-hmm. Now, as Pastor Tom would say, we got two different ways to look at that. Are we ready to meet our maker? That's one answer.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is, have we taken care of our financial affairs? Have we got our estate planning taken care of? Well, if they answer no to both of those, it takes me a little longer to get things accomplished than I planned on. But the bottom line is, one of the things that I kind of stir the pot a little bit is to make sure people have a will or a trust and learn the difference between them. And I needed to have an attorney that I could trust. Boy, that was tough. That was not arrogant, not pretentious, not overpriced, a good listener. Can you imagine, folks, such a thing as an attorney? And that was Greg Fasula. And truly, he is all the above. He's one of the better people, folks, you'll ever meet in your entire life. And right now, I don't care what problem comes up that needs an attorney from any of my clients, myself, or anybody that I know. I say, you call Greg first. And if Greg can't do it, he will send you to somebody that he knows and he has confidence in. And that makes a ton of difference to me, that it's somebody that he knows. So he's a critical part of the group, and he was the very first one, along with Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Another thing that came. Now, years and years ago, when I was a young man, back in the 70s. I know.
Years ago. A lot of years ago.
You realize the 70s, how long ago that was?
Yes, I do. I got married in the 70s.
You are old.
I am.
I know. Anyway.
I got married young.
Uh-huh. Anyway. Back in the 70s, I was an insurance agent for a company called Farmers, which is a very, very good company.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of extremely good companies out there. But even then, I learned that when people walk in the door, no such thing as any one company taking care of even 90% of the people that walk in your door. So what happens is, if you're going to be credible in business, you have to be, quote, an independent. And anybody that's lived in Florida for a long time and has gone through Hurricane Andrew and other hurricanes, and they watched all of these insurance companies non-renew people or raise their rates 2 and 3 times higher than they were paying, understands what I'm talking about. So Dan, many, many years ago, realized that he needed to be independent, and today he's only 35 years in business. Well, I tell you, folks, 35 years is a good long time. Always been right in Port St. Lucie and in Martin County. Used to have two offices. Now he's got just one on the corner of U.S. 1 and Port St. Lucie Boulevard. But he's now got 85 companies inside of his office. Now, they're not all car or homeowners or business, but the things that Dan does not do, and he'd tell you right flat out, he doesn't do airplanes and he doesn't do giant yachts.
No yachts.
No yachts, and no giant airplanes. Those are usually very specific insurance agents that specialize. Mm-hmm. But he has been able to do magnificent things for clients of mine, friends of mine, just about everybody that I've ever sent him. He's done a really, really good job for. And I trust the man completely. Just superb person. Then we also added Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who I've only known since 1980. And she's only 30. It's amazing how this works. And she's a... probably the hardest working person I've ever known. And this woman is, people, when they say they're honest, I hear them people say that and I kind of hold on to my wallet real hard, you know, it's like I'm just a poor dumb farmer. Oh boy, start running. Anyway, this girl, you couldn't make her lie. When she says she's going to do something, she always does. I'm going to call you. She calls. I've had her call me from England. She Skyped me. Because she couldn't get the cell phone to work, so she went and found a way to Skype me.
Did you have to go to the emergency room?
I don't know what she had to do, but I didn't, because she said she was going to do something. I was trying to get a piece of real estate, and that's just the way she is. She's going to do what she says. And she knows these two counties, Martin and St. Lucie County, is any good as anybody alive. And didn't she counsel you just a little bit ago?
Yes, she did. And, you know, Victoria is just a wealth of knowledge, because you ask her anything in realty. I was trying to rent office space. I still am in my office building. And I was using somebody, and that because I thought they knew the market better,
right.
But they didn't. Anyway, she came up with some good advice, and basically what she told me was right on the money. I hadn't even thought about it. She said, you know, she told me what to do.
There you
go. I did it, and sure enough, the next week I got some results.
There you go.
We haven't rented it yet, but we got some interest. You know?
The key is the girl knows her stuff. So when I tell somebody, hey, if you want to talk about buying or selling real estate, this is the person you talk to. And she's not going to do what... let me give you this. How do I phrase this gently? There are some realtors that'll take a listing, and they know that it's not a good listing, and then for the next 6 months, they'll keep wanting you to lower the price, and they do that on purpose, which is, in my mind, well, first, it's unethical. Number two, it's a lie. Little minor thing. And it just aggravates me to no end.
You know what it is, Joe? You get they build up your hopes.
Yeah.
Say they come in and tell you some ridiculously high price.
Yeah.
Just so you'll sign on the dotted line. Right. Use them, because you say, wow, you mean I can get that
for
my place?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, Victoria, go for it.
And Victoria won't.
Well, she wouldn't do it.
She's gonna.
Well, somebody else would.
Oh yeah.
And then all of a sudden, a month later, they're coming back to you and say, you know, the market's a little softer than we thought.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to get that. You better come down a little bit in your price,
right?
So otherwise, you won't be getting the kind of activity you're thinking about. So it's sort of disheartening at that point, because you're thinking you're going to get a good. You're going to get it really done, but that's misleading people. It's not ethical. But I know a lot of people do it. A lot of brokers do it.
It's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
And the last person of the group, Mr. Mike Polis, mortgage broker, works hand in glove with Victoria. And I tell every single person, if you're looking to buy a piece of real estate, before you even talk to a realtor or start looking, call Mike. Mike will run your credit and find out what you can qualify for. Just that simple. It's nice to know if you can buy something and then how much you can buy based on what you do. And he does that for you in 5 minutes, and it doesn't cost you a nickel.
I had the occasion to refer somebody to Mike recently, about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And what it found out in this particular case, my client had a piece of property that was, there was really two separate parcels, and there was some sort of a difficulty with the way he had it organized. I mean, I think he had it all in an LLC, and because there was a split, one was residential, one is commercial, there was a problem with financing there. But he told my client straight up what the issues were, and now it's up to the client. So, you know, I feel like I did my job by referring to him, but Mike followed up with him right away.
Well, you know what? A lot of people don't like to hear what they hear, but the truth is what the truth is. And the worst thing is when you go out to buy a piece of real estate and you write a contract up and you can't qualify for it, not only have you wasted a lot of your time, and oftentimes when you walk into a bank, the bank doesn't do what Mike does. In 5 minutes, they tell you nothing. They take an application. They may take a deposit, and it may take them 6 weeks to turn you down. Mike will tell you usually within 5 or 10 minutes once he runs a credit what you can qualify for. And let's say you have a problem He'll show you how to correct the problem, and that might take a period of time so that you can qualify.
Exactly. But you know what? In the end, then, he's got a deal that he knows he can get done.
Exactly.
So he's not wasting anybody's time, and the client's not to have some unrealistic expectation about the deal.
So the whole concept of the group, very simply, is here to either make you money or to save you money. And I mean, literally, we've been able to, what we have, Pastor Tom, one of the first people that called in, she has a horse farm out west.
Sheila.
And one day I remember she called the station. She goes, here I was. I called into the station, and all of a sudden I see this old guy with gray hair.
And it wasn't Pastor Tom.
And it wasn't Pastor Tom, and it wasn't Joe, and it wasn't Vince. It happened to be Dan Warren out taking pictures of her horse farm, and she took him on a, once she knew who he was. And she called in as one of the nicer testimonials and said basically that he saved her about $2,000 a year. And, you know, and that's what Dan does. And he knows how to do it so he can take and go to the right company and say, here's the exposure. Because a horse farm is a relatively rare animal. There's not a whole bunch of them.
No pun intended.
Yeah, boy. I thought there was a pun intended. You're not a horse as well. Never mind. I can't say that. Anyway, so the whole concept with what Dan has been able to do, and he's done it for me and Mike and a whole bunch of us, is literally got us good or better coverage and saved us money. And that's what happens when, in my opinion, he ranks up there in one among the top independent insurance agents on the Treasure Coast, literally. And Pastor Tom, did you have words of wisdom? I was watching you thinking.
When?
Okay.
He's still trying
next,
to figure
we'll go
it
to
out.
New subject now real quick here.
I have words of wisdom. Come on.
Let's talk,
break it to us.
Let's talk about end of the year. What in the world do we have to do?
You know, you're probably looking at me strangely because I'm sitting here flipping through my phone, and it's not because I'm bored or anything. I'm trying
I thought
to
you were a teenager.
No. I was trying to find a particular email where the list of all the tax extenders, you know, the House of Representatives passed what amounts to about, I think, 80 tax extender. What is a tax extender? These were things that were incorporated in the law that were really, really almost on a year-by-year basis, that the Congress approves them, and then if they don't change the law, the Congress next year either has to let them die,
right,
or they have to renew them.
Right.
And so there was sort of nothing like them waiting for the last minute, mind you. We're getting very close to the end of the congressional year. And there were things, and the most important one of these extenders was the one where you recall those people who had foreclosures this year, and they're going to get 1099s,
could be a short sale,
right. and all of a sudden they've got a 1099. Well, the up until December of 2013, if it was a personal residence that you lived in, they forgave it. So that expired at December 31st, 2013, last year. Everybody knew it.
Right.
So all these people, I got calls all during the year from clients. Well, what's going on with that? And I said, well, look, the law is right now that the exclusion doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, right.
So you better assume that you're going to be paying taxes. And there was no offset for basis.
Right,
whatever the gain was, you were paying the tax on it. So they said, well, and some of them, but the case of short sales, they had no choice. I mean, they had to do it. So anyway, this is one of the big ones that's in that tax extender. Well, the House approved it, and they think now that the Senate's going to approve by Friday.
See, let me get into a little detail here because we're talking some company jargon here. But let's say you had a short sale. Short sale means you sold your house, and the bank approved it, and you sold it for less than what you owe on it.
Correct.
So the bank says, hey, we gave you that $200,000, and we're willing to take $100,000. That means you have $100,000 of our money that we're never going to get. So we're going to send you a 1099 that says you just made $100,000, and you now have to pay tax on that.
Right, because the theory is, I guess, that it's income to you because you have an obligation that you're no longer required to satisfy.
There you go.
So
is that an advantage to the bank that if they give you a 1099, then they
get to write that
they
off?
Get to write, the bank gets to write it off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I also, now here's Vince. Wouldn't the bank get to write it off anyway as a bad loan? Or maybe they can't.
Well, no, normally as a business deduction, I would say yes, once it went bad, they would get a deduction for it. This is more on the flip side. This is more to make sure that the taxpayers, I'm paying their fair share.
So this is
not so much to support their deduction, but to
so it's not so much to the benefit of the bank
More to the detriment. Of the taxpayer.
Yes. Really. So the taxpayer. So what happened is it's the Infernal Revenue that decides that they want you, Pastor Tom, even though you can't afford to stay in your house, and even though you've proven to the bank that you can't afford to make your payments. I love this logic. That this $100,000 that you don't have because you lost your job and you can't pay, we're going to want you to pay tax on it anyway. And then if you don't pay tax, we're going to charge you penalty and interest on it until you pay it. And wait, you can't.
And if you don't pay it, we're going to lock you up.
No, you can't. No debtor's prison. It's against the rules. But there's also, you can't, I guess.
But they can make your life miserable.
Oh, boy. But there's also, Vince, some things with the Infernal you can't go bankrupt on. Some things you can, but some things are negotiable depending on what goes on. So you may not even be able to go bankrupt and get out of this debt. So once the Internal Revenue decides you're on the bad list, you could be on there for a long time.
I don't think that qualifies, Joe, for the bad list. Not like, for example, student loans.
Yeah.
With student loans, you can't get out of that debt forever, even bankruptcy.
Right.
Or sales tax liabilities.
Sales tax,
or trust funds when in the case of businesses.
But federal income tax, there becomes a good question. So, you know, they're counting this as income.
It is, but what happens is you report the income, you calculate a tax.
Right.
You either can afford to pay the tax or you can't.
Right.
If you can't afford it, then what happens? It goes through their normal procedure to IRS, including collections.
Right.
You know, it goes to collections. They send you letters. They implore you to come and work a deal with them. And if it doesn't and you don't do it and you ignore it, well, ultimately what happens is the tax gets assessed.
Right.
And they call that that's a special point in time for the IRS.
Right.
It's
right.
The assessment of the tax. That means they actually went through all their litigation, everything, and they can't collect, so they assess you. Then what happens? Eventually you get a tax lien on your credit and on your file.
Right.
Which means that, you know, that's got to be satisfied. If you've got a house, for example, you won't be able to sell that thing without paying off the tax liens, because nobody's going to give somebody a mortgage on that house with these liens.
Right.
So what does the assessment mean? Once you reach that assessment stage.
Bottom line is.
Well, hold on. Let me finish the thought, because it's important. If they reach the assessment stage, you're eligible then to have that debt forgiven in a bankruptcy, in a personal bankruptcy.
You are eligible.
Yes.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that part. Well, that's so there are some advantages to getting all the way to the assessment value.
Yes, because then it becomes eligible for release in a bankruptcy.
Okay.
So there are cases where, you know, you will be able to get that debt off your back, income taxes.
But I also know, and I think we might have had somebody actually call in on the show, and may not be on this show, that was all worried about it. And I said, hey, go down and talk to them. You know, and most people are scared to death of the IRS, but quite honestly, these are just people that have a job just like anybody else, and they are very empathetic or sympathetic. And in fact, the last couple of years, I've had a few people that have gone down and were pleasantly surprised with how helpful the people were at helping this person through a bad situation. Because most people, when they get into trouble, didn't do it on purpose. They ran into circumstances, whether it's health or job or divorces or who knows what. You know, me, it's always been marriages that have gotten me in trouble. But then 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. You got Vince Rizzino, CPA, right here, right now, folks, and we're coming to the end of the year tax-wise. If you got any questions on that, this would be a good time and a good place to call.
Absolutely, and eventually I'll find that email I'm looking for. But that's the extender, so that's one of the big ones. There are a lot of energy credits, solar credits, things like that also that rolled up with the provisions on the reduction of itemized deductions. You know, there's a host of them.
Yeah, what is there? How many pages in the code, Vince?
Oh, I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Longer, taller than you are in pages, right?
Yes, I mean, about 70,000, I think.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And, of course, somebody sits around all year long trying to make more of them, because if they didn't, they wouldn't get a paycheck. You know, so I think that's just the way the system works. I found a new one today.
Oh, what was that?
Well, you know, let's say that a person dies and they have an annuity contract, and now they have a beneficiary. And the beneficiary normally has a period of time they can take the money, and they can actually usually spread out the total income over a five-year period. So let's say that that the owner of that one started off with $100,000 and now they die and there's $200,000. And let's say then you have $100,000 that is subject to tax.
Mm-hmm.
Well, insurance companies normally say, well, we'll let you take out $20,000 a year for the next 5 years, or $40,000 a year and pay tax on it on an annual basis. Well, new wrinkle. They can now do a 1035 exchange into another contract and basically take it out over their life expectancy.
Oh, that is a nice new wrinkle.
Which is a nice thing. So let's just say you're a beneficiary and your mother dies, your dad dies, and you inherit this, and there's $100,000 worth of gain that is subject to tax. If you take it all at one time, you're going to have to pay the tax this year. But, and if you took it out over 5 years, you could spread the tax out over 5 years. Now, if you're not making any money, it's not that big a deal. But if you are making money and you add it to your tax, it could move you into a much higher bracket. Now,
you realize that that's not a new concept.
What's that?
The spreading business.
No.
With a life expectancy.
Well, but
they do the same thing with an IRA. IRAs are the
well,
same.
Well, on IRA, you've always, but not on a normal.
I agree. But it's a concept they stole from the IRAs, meaning they're going to let you extend it out through your lifetime, which is really cool. Yeah. I think I like that.
Can you delay it?
Huh?
Let's say you don't want to take anything right now, but, you know, I'm going to retire next year, so I'll wait until after I retire and take it.
You take a 5 year then.
You got to take it each year over.
You got to take something each year.
But you can take one check a year starting next year, 12 months or 11 months and 49.
It's amortized. That's the key word there.
But you can take it out over a period of time. But back again, if you set up, it's almost called, we used to call it, we do call it an immediate annuity, which is also called a pension, where we can set it up. And it's not based on the person died age, which is like on an IRA. It's based on the person's age that inherited.
That's living or inherited, yeah.
Whole different
ball. Yeah.
It's a new wrinkle that I just...
Yeah, well, the IRA's the same deal, Joe. If you inherit an IRA, you have an option there. Take it out over the five year period, as we talked about.
Or
you take it over your lifetime.
Right.
So you rolled it over to an account.
On the other hand, though, here, let's play taxes. I love this part, because this I know.
see? He wants to play taxes.
If you're 69 and die,
yeah,
and your wife or your child inherits that, they take it out of their age, the child, and they don't have to take distributions.
Right.
That's but if they
I think
are,
I said that.
If the person that dies is over 70 and a half.
And they're already starting to take it.
And they've already taken it. You've got to keep taking as if that person was still alive.
Correct.
Different rules.
Correctamundo.
I love these rules.
Yeah, rules. Yeah, that's what keeps us all in business, right?
Well, you know, back again. Go to school, take courses. You don't learn this stuff. You learn it all the hard way. Because you bump into people and they come up with these questions and then you find out. There's always somebody that knows everything.
And now most people, most CPAs, this stuff is not learned in school.
No.
This is learned through either continuing education.
Yeah, right.
Or through some client calling you up and saying, I want to do this.
Can I do it? Right.
And then I said, well, let me go look it up because I don't know everything. Well, what they did teach me is where to go to find the answer.
70,000 pages is impossible. It's just like this guy.
I don't like to read that code. It's
terrible. Like Gruber that just came up and said, we're all stupid to pass Obamacare.
He was
don't you love that one, Pastor Tom? I thought it. And he
was right.
But what I really liked about this thing was they said, how much money did you get paid to be a consultant? And he won't answer.
Really?
And they're saying he probably got paid a couple of million. I mean, we don't know, but I'm hearing the speculation back there. But he's going to have to talk to his attorney before he can say how much money he
got
paid.
Just goes to show you. You never know what they're going to say, Joe. These people don't, I mean, they got loose lips.
Oh, Lord, he saved me. You know, but anyway, I just get a, you know, we don't talk politics on this show very often, do we, Pastor Tom?
I don't think so.
That's a good idea.
I can't recall.
He'd make a good politician.
He makes a good witness.
He'd make a real good one. Right. What's your name again? I'm not sure.
I don't recall.
I don't recall. 1-888-221-8990 and 888-221-8990. Now, if you really don't want to talk to us on the radio, which is sounding like that's happening, you can call the radio station anytime during the week, and Pastor Tom or Connie will take your name and number and have us call you back or vice versa. Anyone in the group. So literally, what we have is a group of local professionals that in my own humble opinion, are right near the cream of the crop for various reasons. One, experience. Two, they've been in business a long time, which means experience. Three, they have credibility. They know their stuff. And most important is integrity. This group, and I'm very, very, very proud to say that our group, and Vince and I have both belonged to various groups of, let's say, peer levels, and a lot of times we have people that we really don't want to know anymore. And this particular group, I'm very, very proud of when it comes to the word integrity.
You were talking about some of the things that one can do at the end of the year, maybe to mitigate their tax burden.
Right.
There are a lot of tax credits for things like air conditioning systems.
Right. Yep.
Those type of things. What are some of the things people can do that?
Well,
that maybe, you know, hot water heaters. There's all kind of things like that.
Yeah, there are energy saving things that you can invest in. They know it's called a credit, but you know the only problem with that is it used to be much more generous back in 2010, 2011, because then you could get a credit up to $1,500 depending on how much you spent. It was a third of what you spent, up to $4,500. So you could buy an air conditioning system. Cost you $4,500, they'd give you $1,500 credit. Well, guess what? 2 years ago, that all changed. So now you have a 10% credit for the maximum of $500 over your lifetime.
Oh, and lifetime. Each appliance or total?
No, total. Pure. It's all your dollars.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
Isn't that terrible? They didn't raise.
Well, what about, you know, I know there's a number. So it's whether you use it for air conditioning, water heater, insulation, any of those.
You got $500
maximum credit maximum over your lifetime.
Over your lifetime.
Unless they change the code.
Yeah, unless they change it. Exactly.
You know, what happens is the Internal Revenue has not raised taxes.
But they sure have changed the code.
They've changed the code. And they
well,
did,
here's another one
they
for
did
you,
raise Joe. Taxes a bit, though.
Here's another one for you. Because it doesn't really apply here in the state of Florida, but it does. I take it back. It applies here to the state of Florida and every other state that doesn't have any income taxes. If you remember what, if you ever noticed, for those people who itemize their deductions,
mm-hmm.
those are people who choose to itemize and deduct individually as opposed to taking the standard because the itemized are higher, right? Well, the IRS basically gave in to the claims of a lot of these states with no income tax, saying we are being basically discriminated against because in the states that do have income tax and state and local income taxes, state income taxes, they can deduct those state
right,
income taxes
from their federal
taxes
right.
and get a deduction for it. Where people in states that don't have income taxes, they don't get that benefit. So the IRS, Congress acquiesced and said, okay, all those states that don't have income tax, we're going to let you take a sales tax, a local sales tax equivalent.
Uh-huh. Which is?
It's on a formula basis. Basically, they estimate your income.
Okay.
And on that income, there's a chart. And based on the county you live in and what your state rate
but
is
you have
your
to
county,
take the itemized deductions to
you
get
you have
that.
To take the itemized deductions to get it. It's not above the line. It's below
but
the line.
Isn't Vince, if I'm sitting with you and you're looking at me, say, okay, Joe, here's your gross, and I've checked you out itemized, or I've checked you out standard, and you might as well just go standard because the itemized doesn't get you enough.
Right.
So you can do it either way, but one might be better than the other, and that's the reason you take A instead of B.
Well, again, it depends. I mean, you've got to do it on a case-by-case basis,
yeah,
Joe,
right.
Because, for example, some people may have bunching up their medical expenses.
Right,
I mean,
right.
You may want to accelerate those medical expenses so that they can get you over the 10% threshold.
Right, right.
And so then that, when added to all the other things,
right.
gets you over the standard.
There you go.
So is there a limit on the medical expenses you can deduct?
It's got to be excess of 10% of your income. They raised that too. It used to be 7.5. Raised it to 10 last year in 13, and again here in 14 with Facebook. That means if somebody makes, you know, $50,000 of combined income for the year, the first $5,000 of medical expenses is not deductible. So that means you wind up eating it. You're like self-insuring
that.
You get no benefit. I think it was designed to be like a catastrophic situation, to cater to catastrophic situations where somebody has an illness not covered by insurance or where you have very high deductibles.
Right.
Then that's what that was designed for.
Well, many years ago, you used to be able to deduct your interest on your credit cards and
a whole bunch of stuff.
And all kinds of things. That's not available anymore.
Oh, no, that's been eliminated for many years past the time. You're showing your age now because that goes back
You're a lot older than I thought.
Probably in the late 80s or
90s. My middle name is Methuselah.
Now, here's something that I'm looking down this list now so I don't forget the key ones. There's there's another one in there there's a provision there that allows people who are 70 and a half to donate to their charity directly from the IRA and not have to pay tax on the money that they contribute.
That's a nice thing. You can take your required minimum distribution.
Correct. Your required minimum, it'll satisfy your requirement.
You can send it straight.
Send it to a charity.
Right.
And that'll satisfy your requirement. And you get a tax deduction.
What about regular donations that people make at the end of the year, year-end donations? Can they deduct that?
Again, at the, if they're itemized, yes, you can. If it's through a qualified, either a charity, a recognized charity, a 501c3, or if you give it to your church or something.
Now, is there a formula for that, too, because you can't deduct 100%?
No, that goes in a pot. 100% of it goes in the pot.
Okay.
You see, there's a couple of layers to get to what you actually get to deduct. There's
right,
the thresholds, like for the medical, 10%.
Right.
There's also a threshold for other things called the 2%. Itemized deductions. That means you got to reach 2%, not 10%, to take those deductions.
So if you make $100,000 a year, the first $2,000
you cannot deduct, but you can deduct things like tax preparation fees.
Yeah. So you can lump them together.
Yeah, lump them together if you got union dues and all that. You'd lump those
health insurance.
Things. No, health insurance is a different
See,
thing.
Don't you love this?
health insurance is different. I want to bring that up too because it's very important for those people out there that have. What's called a high deductible plan, Joe. Very important.
You mean Obamacare?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
You got that. is there such a thing called an HSA, which is a health savings account. Now, this has to be set up before year end with a bank, local or any other financial institution that offers them.
You ever hear of stockbrokers?
Through stockbrokers.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm surprised you haven't banged a drum for this.
Well
on the HSA.
Yeah.
It allows you to, depending on whether you're single or you're married with a family or whatever, but single people, example, if you're a sole person, you can invest $3,300 in the HSA. But what does that do for you?
Each person.
What does that mean?
Working person.
Each taxpayer.
Yeah.
And what that means is this is an above-the-line deduction, but the plan that you have has to qualify as a high deductible plan. And usually your carrier will tell you whether this
exactly.
plan qualifies as a high deductible plan.
So if
plan.
A person has a health savings account, they can deduct it from their
above the line.
It comes off the gross adjusted income.
It's like an IRA
Now
deduction.
Think about that, Pastor Tom. Think about that.
Because if you're making $50,000 a year and you put $3,000 in, that lowers your taxable income to
47 or 46.7 as it were.
And
but
put you
as
in
opposed
a
to dump it, as opposed to if you don't have the HSA, that money would go flip into your medical pot,
right.
subject to the 10%.
Now is that something that is required? I mean, well, if you have a health savings account, are you still required to have health insurance?
Well, that's a totally different animal.
Or does that?
Well, the requirement to have the health insurance under Obamacare, I believe you have to have it anyway.
Yeah.
But the type of plan that you have is your election. You just have to have insurance, and there's certain basics you have to have, and I don't want to go into Obamacare because I don't know it that well anyway.
But the key thing with the health savings account is the money is you're not paying tax on it. It's like an IRA.
But the reason I'm asking that is because I thought, somewhere in the whole discussion of healthcare and things, that healthcare savings accounts were an alternative to health insurance.
No, it was not an alternative.
Okay.
No. These health insurance accounts were set up primarily for the purpose of being able to pay the deductibles, high deductibles, and get a dollar for dollar up to $3,300 deduction for it.
This is another reason why, folks, and forgive me, but Obamacare is not going to work because all of a sudden, you know, like Vince is still paying regular and so is Pastor Tom. I'm on Medicare. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. But the key thing is this, that I used to have a $5,000 deductible on my health insurance. Well, it's not that I'm rich, but $5,000, what I was concerned about health-wise was a heart attack, stroke, or cancer, the three biggies.
Right.
I figure if I got something else wrong with me, and if it cost me $5,000, I wouldn't be happy.
Right.
But I was very concerned about long term, so I had like $1 million that would be covered. So now under Obamacare, now you're supposed to have these different plans, and they don't have these concepts. So the health savings account, even though they have a $6,600, there's all kinds of different deductibles. There's still some jury out there. They don't have it figured out. And insurance companies are still writing the stuff in spite
of
Obamacare.
They're writing it, but I have to tell you, for the most part, for the people I've talked to,
right,
myself included, the premiums have nearly doubled.
Well, you know, when you brought this up, I went and grabbed some paperwork because I've been looking at this, for a couple, And this is for a couple over the age of 60. Making,
who would that possibly be?
Well, it would affect a lot of people out there. You know, anybody can go online to healthcare.gov and right. check these numbers. But for a couple of man and woman over 60, making about $65,000 a year combined,
right.
The health care premium is $970 a month.
That's ridiculous. That's outrageous.
Now, with
what are the deductibles?
$12,550 deductible.
It's half of that for each.
Yeah, so half of that for each. But before the plan will pay, you've got to meet the $12,550.
But combined. That's the two people combined. Yeah,
combined. Okay.
So it's like $6,000 per individual because that's about what they're offering now.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. That's exactly what they're offering.
However,
now,
if you don't make enough money, they will help you pay that $970. Right.
Well, if you make under $46,000 a year of combined income, you're eligible for a subsidy.
They but, call if it a
but
wait,
if you're making 65, you're past it. You're not eligible. Yeah.
Wait.
Wait. It gets better. It gets better.
No.
This is like an overnight commercial.
These were done today. This is what I got off the web today.
Yeah.
For a single individual, the age of 60, with an annual adjusted gross income of $8,000.
$8,000. You're starving slowly, but
the monthly premium.
Here we go.
I want to hear this.
$495 a month.
This is not insane.
Now that leaves that person $105 a month to live on.
That's crazy. How did they come up with this stuff?
You know,
I don't know.
I'll tell you what.
Now, I mean,
we want to get political.
You're making $8,000 a year. What's the deductible there? Can you read that?
$6,600.
That's maximum.
That's ridiculous.
So let's just see. I got to pay $6,600 plus $500 a month. That's $6,000 for me alone. I got to pay $12,000. I'm only making $8,000.
And only making $8,000.
Is there a mathematical problem with
yes,
this?
Yes, there is. It doesn't work.
Gruber may have been right.
I think Gruber was right. And it gets even worse than that, Pastor Tom. Take a look at what most of these plans are offering you in terms of office visits.
Yeah.
In terms of your prescription drugs.
Right.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
basically, they want to cover none of that until you reach your deductible. So if you got that $6,600 deductible, it's not just the premium you're paying, but it's all these out-of-pockets.
For the couple.
To get to the $6,600.
Now, add this up. You're a CPA and a financial advisor here.
No, you're looking at the wrong guy here.
You know, I'm a CPA.
Here, go over there. He's got the calculator.
Well, anyway, but you're talking about for this couple, $12,500. Dollars in deductible and right. $970 a month.
That's only another.
That's another $11,000.
$23,000 a year.
Right.
And if the insurance plan hasn't paid a nickel.
That's correct.
Well, you know what? We need to.
That's the problem. I'll tell you why.
We need to buy that insurance company quick.
Yes, you do. No, I'll tell you what the problem is. And I don't want to sound like this, that I have no compassion for the poor in the country, and I do. But what they've done with this plan, first of all, they oversold it, and they sold it a bill of goods to most Americans to believe that, you know, you could keep your doctor, keep your plan, well, this is going to save money, and blah, blah, blah.
Gruber said we were stupid.
It's you're going to bring 40 million people into the system?
No way.
Somebody's got to pay for the 40 million people.
Yeah. And the people, you know, if you're making $60,000 and you got to pay $22,000 a year before it kicks in anything, that's what, 20%?
And by the way, yes.
Of your income, 20 or better.
As we talked about, Pastor Tom.
40% of your income.
40% of your income.
Yeah. As we talked about, if you're making $60,000 a year and you want to itemize those deductions, the first $6,000 of that $20,000, you don't get the deduct.
You don't get to deduct, yeah. and 40% of your income. Now imagine that all of a sudden you lost 40%. Of what you make.
That's crazy.
Plus, wait a minute.
But how can you afford to live?
Taxes.
You also had to pay tax on that money.
State
as your
and local taxes.
Yeah.
And you're up to probably 80% of your income goes out the door.
You know what, folks? This is.
I just pray that I don't get sick.
That's right. I'm doing the same thing.
That's a flat fact. You know, luckily, Joe Boy over here is over 65, so Joe Boy's got Medicare. Now, here's what soapbox I've been on it. How long, Vince? I want Medicare for every single person in America. Every single person. Now, let me just tell you, I know some very, very conservative people, and they dislike the whole concept. Oh, Social Security is a terrible thing and Medicare is a terrible thing. I said, let me tell you right now, if we didn't have Social Security and Medicare, this state of Florida would be empty and we'd all be living with our kids when we got too old to work, because we'd have no money. Because under the system we're in today, this health insurance is abysmal. So what happens is us lucky old people that don't die come along and we've been contributing $3 per $100 in our paycheck towards Medicare all the time we're working.
Right.
And now I get to collect, and out of my Social Security check, they take $110 a month.
Right.
Now, I can now have 80% of my doctor bill paid and all but roughly $1,000 of the hospital bill paid. And I don't know that number exactly, but it's roughly that. Or I can get a supplement, might cost me $200 a month to pick up the 20% the hospital doesn't get paid and pick up the deductible for the hospital.
It's still a deal.
It's a deal.
A deal and a half.
It's
$300 a month. $300 a month compared to what he's talking about, $970.
And $23,000 a year. And my whole out-of-pocket, no matter what happens, forget prescription drugs, which also is included partially, is $300 a month.
But Joe, here's the problem. I mean, here's why that your Medicare for Everybody won't work either.
Yes, it
I like
will.
It.
Yes, it
won't.
Will.
It
yes,
won't.
It will.
No, it
yes,
won't. And I'll tell you why.
And I'll tell you why.
And I'll tell you why.
You, I know why. You're saying my thing. You have to increase payroll.
Thank
taxes.
You. Somebody's got to pay
you
for
gotta
it.
You got to pay.
And the payroll tax.
But here's the point.
The payroll tax will end up being the same amount as the.
Here's the premium.
Well,
here's
wait
the
a
point.
Minute,
we've
wait
been
a minute.
Paying in
Let's
for how
say
many
the
years,
payroll
Joe?
Tax was the same as the premium, but now you have no medical expense. You have no medical expense.
But you've got all these young people out there that are not using that medical, and they're going to.
Wait a minute.
They're not going to want to pay that.
Haven't you ever? Well, but guess what? If it comes out of they don't want to pay any taxes. Who wants to pay taxes? But roughly 15% of every dollar you make. Is payroll
but we're talking about a difference between 10% tax and 40 to 50%
no,
tax.
No, we're not. No, we're not. Literally this. If $3 out of every 100 is today is Medicare, if it was $6 out of every 100 plus your Social Security, you'd be looking at 18% payroll taxes rather than 15%.
Well, here again, you're getting back to the concept that Pastor Tom was talking about, which is basically, and the whole Obamacare is founded on this.
Exactly.
That the young people are going to pay for the older people.
However.
And wait a minute, let me finish. It's following the model of Social Security.
That's my point.
And the problem with Social Security, you know, is that people are living longer.
Exactly.
And the longer they live, the more expensive it is to keep them alive. So the younger people are basically saying, we don't want to pay this. I'm not going to pay $300, $400, $500 a month and I don't use it.
But they have to.
But that's the point. Obamacare is predicated on the younger people being forced to do it.
I'm not talking Obamacare. I'm saying Social Security and Medicare.
But
I'm not saying Obamacare. I'm saying Obamacare is not going to work. We all know it's not going to work.
Yeah, but even with Social Security, there are not enough people at the bottom, Joe, to pay for the people at the top.
However, what has to happen, Vince?
Well, you're going to raise taxes
no
on them.
Kidding.
Yes. Well, you're asking the people who are working,
but
younger and younger,
let me ask you a question.
And to pay the premiums.
Have you ever paid
premium.
Social Security?
I paid it all my life. I've been paying it for 40 years.
And I still pay.
And I'm still
and
paying.
And I'm collecting. And I'm an old guy. But I'm trying to say is this. They now have increased the retirement age to 66 and what?
It depends. Some are 67. Depends on your age.
Okay. So what? And like for a guy right now, starting Social Security full age is 66?
Right now, the full age is 66 if you're born before, I think, 1944.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're born before 44.
Right.
So what happens is,
if you're born before 1944,
right,
full retirement is at 66.
Yeah.
But if you're born after, it might be 67.
I'm sorry, but I got that wrong. It's 65 for those people. Between 44 and I think 60 in the mid 60s, then you're up to 66 is the normal year.
I was
and
60.
Then after that, it's 67.
I was 66%, age 66 for full benefit. But what's going to happen is it has to be increased, the age. And there's got to be reform in Social Security. Like right now, it cuts off at $110,000 worth of income. Am I right? 110?
No. It was 117 in 2014. It's
okay, 117.
I think it's going to 119.
So after that, they don't pay.
Then you don't pay.
You stop paying Social Security.
Well,
but you still pay Medicare forever.
But there should be no stop on that because we have this problem long term. If we're going to save Social Security, you know, obviously you know what our deficit is.
Don't want to know. I know what it is.
It's only $18
trillion. Yeah.
Only $18 trillion.
And they're just passing now a government spending bill for $1.8 trillion.
Hey, Pastor Tom. I finally saw it on TV.
What?
Where somebody was doing a million, billion, trillion story, but they skipped the million, billion. They went straight to the trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And they were standing in Times Square talking about giving a dollar away every second. Well, folks, this is trivia, but it's perspective. A million seconds. That means if I gave you a dollar every second, it would take me 12 days to give you $1 million. Every second for 24 hours a day, it would take me 12 days to give you $1 million. Now, if I wanted to give you $1 billion, it would take 32 years.
That's some money.
And if I wanted to give you $1 trillion, it would take, at $1 a second, 32,000 years. Now, wait a minute. Let's take the calculator and figure our deficit.
It's my calculator doesn't have that many numbers on it.
32,000 times 18 years. Oh, God. Nobody's calculator goes that big. What I'm trying to say, what we're all hoping for with this next administration is tax reform. Mm-hmm. Tax reform is a monster, monster, monster problem, and we have to address it. Health insurance is one big portion.
Joe, let me just tell you this. At the tribulation, all accounts will be settled.
That's the wisest thing I've heard all day.
But I also remember that preacher that said the world was going to end tomorrow?
Yes.
And it didn't? Mm-hmm. And I remember walking into WPSL and talking to Greg Wyatt, and Greg says, Joe, I am so upset. I said, Greg, what's wrong? He says, I was so ready to leave.
Well, I got a call from a fellow wanting to know why I was still down here.
Folks, we're running out of time. Pastor Tom is flashing cards at me. I'm we're the only people that he flashes these cards
no,
at.
No, we have these for other folks as well.
Who else do you flash those at?
The Saturday night guys, the Saturday morning folks, the live program.
Are you here on Saturday?
No, I don't come around on Saturday.
Well, you were telling me you flash those cards.
No, Connie does.
Connie does.
Connie or Francesco.
1-888-221-8990.
We didn't get one call today.
No, we didn't. I guess
we have so much knowledge just to impart, and nobody's
called.
Anybody has a question about taxes, investment, insurance, real estate.
We'll even argue Obamacare with them.
That's
if they
right.
Want to.
Well, you will.
Call the radio station and they'll give you our number or take your number and have us call you. And let me tell you, folks, you've got a group of six different local professionals that are here to help you. And there's a storehouse of knowledge and very self-serving. We are a bunch of good people, in my opinion. Is that fair, Tom?
Yeah, that's how. I've met all of you and you're pretty good folks.
That's pretty strong for Tom. You know?
You're right.
Pretty good.
He usually doesn't go that far out on the limb.
One guy named Joe I'm still worried about.
He's pretty, and Pastor Tom's pretty judgmental. Didn't I tell you that's not good in the Bible to be judgmental, Tom?
That's not judgmental. It's prudent.
Prudent. Hey,
you're
folks,
out of
thank
time.
You so much. We're out of time. We'll
yes,
talk to you next week.
God bless you all. Bye.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-229-0114.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm